We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we carry on with our study of God's Word. And one of the most important things that we see in the book of 2 Timothy is the advice, the last words of Paul as he encourages his son Timothy. He continues to give him guidance, telling him to be patient, to wait for the Lord, and to not be ashamed of the sufferings that Paul is going through. Remember, Paul is in prison. He is going to be executed after this, and eventually we are told that he was killed, and this is by Emperor Nero. But he recognizes who he is, who God called him. He was called, and he is very clear that this calling of God happened even before he was formed, even while he was in his mother's womb. And that is a revelation that we must know that our purposes are in God even before we come into them, and we only get to encounter them when we meet Christ, and that is when we start to fulfill why heaven made us to come on the earth. And this, Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, and he encourages Timothy not to be ashamed, but also to be fully persuaded. You know, there is a convincing that you must have. You must be fully persuaded that God is able to keep that which you have committed to him until that day. You know, for you, think about Daniel. For him to be ready to be thrown into a den of lions just because he has maintained his prayer routine, he has a certain persuasion. He is fully persuaded that God is able to keep that which he has committed to him until that day. When the three Hebrew boys are thrown into the fiery furnace, they say, whether our God saves us or he doesn't save us, you can be sure of this, King. We shall not bow. We shall not bow to any graven image. And for sure, they were thrown into the fire. And yes, for sure, because of their full persuasion, because of their full faith in God, indeed, not a single hair over their bodies was burned, not a single thread over their garments was burned. There was not even a smell of smoke. And even while they were in the fire, a fourth man appeared who looked like the Son of Man. And you can see how much preservation and how much detail God has, not just on the men, but also on even their properties. You can see their clothes did not even have a smell of smoke. That is to tell you that there is a certain level of understanding and persuasion that God is the preserver, that nothing will happen to you by surprise. Nothing will happen to you without you knowing, without God being aware of. And indeed, whatever that happens around us is all in the part and plan and purposes of God for our lives. Indeed, we may suffer one way or another, but our convincing, our persuasion must be full that indeed we serve a God who is able to preserve us in this life and in the life to come. There is a glory that awaits you and I that have put our faith in Jesus, not only for this world, but also for the world to come. And what greater assurance is it than to wait on God, to depend on God, and to know that he is faithful. Now let's carry on with 2 Timothy, and we are today in verse 13 of chapter 1. The Bible says, hold fast to the pattern of sound words, or to the pattern of sound doctrine, which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when I arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me. Now, one of the things that you must remember is that Paul and Timothy lived in a time of so much false doctrine, and especially from those who were of the circumcision group. They will come, they will want the church to be built on doctrines of men and to keep the Judaistic law. And Paul was very adamant and Paul was very firm on this. And he, one of his greatest encouragement to Timothy is to hold fast to the pattern of sound words, to the pattern of sound doctrine. You know, later on we'll see where he tells them that, you know, a time will come when men shall not put up with sound doctrines. And this is chapter 4, where, you know, according to their own desires and having itching ears, you know, they will heap for themselves great teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And this is a reality that happens in the time of Timothy, but on Paul, but also is happening today. Nowadays, it's all about itching ears. What are itching ears? It is, oh, we are looking for the latest trend in men of God. We are looking for the latest, you know, miracles, the latest signs. It is always about what is happening. You know, all this is what the Greeks liked. The Greeks liked the latest philosophy, the latest philosophical ideas. That is what was important to them. They were like, oh, what is this babbler saying? You know, he's trying to introduce to us some, to advocate for some false gods. That is what they spoke of Paul. But you see, Timothy is guided by his mentor. He's guided by Paul. And he's told, hold fast. What is it that you have learned over these years? What are the things that you have seen in the lives of whom you have learned? What is the pattern of their lives, the pattern of their prayer, the pattern of their commitment to study of the Word of God, their commitment to their families, their commitment to the workplace? There is a certain pattern that Paul established, not only just by word, but also by the pattern of his life. There is a sound doctrine that must align to your pattern of life. You know, there must be no distinction between the message and the messenger. Many times we often tell people, no, just take the message, you know, the messenger can be different. But you see, in that time, and even today, according to scriptures, you cannot be distinguished from your message. In fact, we believe your message based on you, on your character. And the moment your character is out of place, then people question the message. People question the miracles they experience. People question whether in those times were those messages that came from a place of purity or not. And you see, one of the sad things that we see even today, the Bible says judgment shall begin with the house of God. There is a lot of exposition that is going on, and this is because God wants the altar to be purified. God does not want it to be contaminated, and he wants the people of God, the servants of God, to come out clean such that they can be restored. And at times some exposition is actually mercy from God, because the worst is going to hell, dying in your sin and going to hell. But you see, God in his mercy would want, you know, this person to be exposed, or this person to come out, and eventually when their sin has found them out and they can seek public repentance, they can seek repentance before men and before God, then in due time they can be restored and their souls saved. So it's very important that we stick to what we have committed. You can see these guys who, Phygellus and Hermogenes, these were the guys who are also teaching false doctrines that initially in the first book of Timothy, where he was told that, you know, watch out for these men, the mutilators of the flesh, the ones who want to people to, you know, to follow after false doctrines. And he's told, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so this man oppose everything that is the truth. So as the responsibility of the leader and Paul's church to Timothy, he encourages him that, look here, there is something good that was committed to you. This doctrine that we gave to you, this gift that we placed in you, remember the laying on of my hands, that, you know, keep that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. You know, you can never keep yourself. At times we will think it is our effort, we will think it's our discipline, we will think it is our, you know, our commitment because we are anointed and all that. But there are things that are only kept by the Lord. Your salvation is a product of mercy. It is only the mercy of God that helps you and I not to fall, or even when we fall, to rise up again. It is only the mercy of God that renews us each and every morning, that you are refreshed each and every morning. And when you are refreshed, then you experience the life of God. You experience the power of God. You experience the grace that surpasses human understanding. You experience power and wisdom that enables you to stand in the day of judgment, to stand when opposition comes, to stand when the winds come. It is only God that is able to keep you. Any wise man knows they stay in salvation, not of human capacity, not of human effort, but it is God that works in them both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So we have a responsibility to continue depending on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will warn us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will rebuke us. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sins. And he will also bring to remembrance the things that God has taught us, the things that we have learned. And may we continually be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, another theme also is brought in, and this is the ministry of, you know, of ministering to the saints. And you can think about this man Onesiphorus. You know, the Bible says the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, and he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. This is one person who ensured that when he reached Rome, you know, he went to look for Paul. You can see, say, when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. You can imagine, you have gone to a whole city and you are looking for this Paul. You are told he's arrested, and you look and look and look until you find him. You can imagine those that try to look for their relatives that have been taken, maybe arrested by the authorities. How much effort you have to do, because at times they move from up to 10 different police stations in a night, the same night, just to confuse people. And you can see how this man, he looked for Paul. Paul zealously till he found him, and then he refreshed me. And remember what the scripture says, that the Lord shall not forget your labor of love, how you took care of the saints. There are things that we do not for ourselves. There are efforts that we do to take care. The Bible tells us, do not forget to entertain strangers and share with them, because many in doing so have taken care of angels. Have entertained angels. When you're told, remember those in prison as if you are in chains with them. You know, there are those that have been chained for the gospel. We have a responsibility to remember them. Prison ministry is one of the important ministries to God, that even when Jesus on his return, he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the people who are on the right will ask, but Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked? When were you sick? When were you in prison? And Jesus will tell them, whatsoever you did, the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. So there is a thing that we must continue in. There is a pattern of life. There is a pattern that we can learn from this Onesiphorus. And also we can later on see that even he had a church, because whenever Paul sends his greetings, he say, pray also for the household of Onesiphorus and the church that is in his house. You know, greet them. You know, later on he says, greet them. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. This is a man that often, you can see the word, the man, he often refreshed me. That means it was not just a one-time thing. He continually, he went ahead. He was not ashamed of the chains of Paul. He was not ashamed that this man is being chained to death as a criminal. But he knew that this was a servant of God. And God will remember each of our labors in the Lord. When you serve him, when you're committed to him, you can be sure of that. And the Bible says, the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how he ministered to me at Ephesus. Hebrews 6 verse 10 tells us, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Everything that we do for the servants of God, everything that we do for the work of God, be it in ministry, be it in the church, be it outside the church, all of these things come and enter into the records. There is always a book of remembrance. You can read that in Malachi chapter 4, where, you know, people were complaining to God. They were saying, "Oh, we have served you in vain. What have we gained from going about mourning? You know, it is the wicked are blessed. The wicked are the ones who are increasing. And we who have served God, you know, are struggling, and in many ways." And the Bible says, "And the Lord listened." The Lord listened to the elect, what they were saying. And the Bible says, "And a book of remembrance was open, and indeed it were captured all the good things that the saints had done." And the Bible says a time will come when he will make a distinction between those who serve him and those who don't, between those who love him and they don't. There is a time that God will make a distinction. To the eyes of men, it will appear like you are reversing. It will appear like, you know, things are not moving forward. But I can assure you, their time for restoration is at hand. You can remember Joseph. In one day, he moved from prison to the palace. One day, he was a prisoner. The next day, he arose as one who was married, one who was a governor over Egypt, one who had responsibility, one who was second to none except Pharaoh. And you can see all this is a product of the waiting process. I pray that God will help us to understand. God will help us to be patient. God will help us to be fully persuaded, to know that thing that God has given us, to preserve it by him, to preserve it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we continually depend on him, we shall experience his love in our lives. We shall experience his increase in our lives, our families, our children, our properties, everything that surrounds us. Remember the story of Job. Everything around him, the devil could not touch. The devil could not touch his wealth. The devil could not touch his family. The devil could not touch him, except when he was given clearance by God. This is the same promise that we have. Let us commit our lives to him. Let us commit everything that concerns us, our jobs, our resources, everything, every blessing that is due us, we commit it to him. And even as we thank God for this month, that this shall be a month of blessing, every blessing that is due us shall come forth, and nothing shall hold it back. I want to stop here, and I pray that God will continue to give us more insight into his word. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. Thank you. Thank you indeed. It's unless for us is way of life is that reminds us that indeed our service to the men of God and spiritual fathers serves us a blessing at the end of the day. Sometimes we often take it for granted, and we often do not see the mantle that the men of God carry. Then we treat them as if, you know, we are at the same level or something. We do not take time aside to tap into the blessing of serving these men of God. But even if the Bible says that, you know, grace does not come from deeds, but salvation does not come from deeds, but the grace of God. God is not wicked. He is merciful. He remembers the good things we do. Mm-hmm. He remembers the righteous things. King Hezekiah wept and ask God to remember his faithfulness, to remember the good things that he has done. And God was kind enough to add him 15 more years.
Yeah.
Okay. To me, I think it's great to mind that the good deeds that we do, there is a bank somewhere that God keeps these things. And the time comes when you want to reclaim and ask God, "What have I done, Father? I have been faithful. Remember me." And I'm sure that God will always remember us. So yes, thank you for that. And I pray that, I mean, as you know, we have since, you know, it's misleading sometimes that they say it's only by grace that one gets salvation. Then you start finding Christians, we are new creatures, we are saved, sin is nothing. Well, you know, and no one cares and caters about doing the good deeds anymore. But we see from Onaporus, we see how Paul blesses him, we see how Paul is very grateful. And such a man, by no way can he fail to reclaim from all those good deeds. So thank you very much, and we pray that God gives us the grace to continue doing the good that we got to do, and to serve him, the man that he has put in our lives as our leaders.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we are saved by grace through faith, and the Bible says we are saved unto good works. That means we do good works that God created in advance for us to do. So if you are saved and you're not doing good works, then we question your salvation, because it is a product of that. It stems from that. It will not make you saved, yes, but if you are truly saved, then your life will reflect a life of service, a life of honor, and there is a God that is faithful. You cannot compare. God will be unjust, you know, to have the same reward for people who risk their lives for the gospel, people who abandoned their homes, people who are, you know, all this persecution and all that to bring the gospel to us. You know, people who even chose never to marry. Think of Paul and all these guys. And then God will just say, all of you are just the same. No, they are rewards. God is not unjust. He is not a man to lie. And we know we don't do those works to be saved, but we do them because we are saved. And all this ministry, all this service, it is all done as unto Jesus. It is all done unto Jesus. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. Let us not be wary of doing good. Let us continue doing good. Even when others around us seem to be tired of it, there's things that are revelations, as you said it. It's a revelation to know that God has given you a grace to serve the servants of God. It's a revelation. And when that revelation hits, then it bears its fruit. And someone will wonder, but you, why don't I ever see you sick? You know, why don't I ever see these things happening? You never seem to be out of a job. There are things that are done in the background. And when you can see and how Paul is thanking God for this man, thanking God for Onesiphorus, praying for him, of course, those rewards, those prayers, those preservations will follow. And God is able to keep and to preserve. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Thank you that, Lord, light is in our hearts. Light has come to us, O God, that indeed we have come to the full understanding, the full revelation of who you are, of our faith in Christ, and also the responsibility that you've placed in us to be faithful, to do the works that you have prepared in advance for us to do, O God, to be faithful stewards, just as this man continued to preserve and to zealously look for Paul until they found him, to refresh him oftenly. It shows a commitment, O God. It is a great encouragement to us that we must not be ashamed of those that are in chains, ashamed of those that are suffering for the sake of the gospel, but stand with them with our means in proportion to our income, in proportion to all that God has given us. We thank you for the nations of the world, O God. We plead your mercy, O God. May your mercy prevail. You do not delight in the death of wicked men, but you desire that they be saved. I pray that the truth shall prevail, the gospel shall be preached, O God, and that you shall heal the lands, O God. We commit our families. Protect and preserve us, O God. We protect us, O God. Protect our cities, O God, from the plans of wicked men, from the reigns of terror, O God. Protect our going out and our coming in, O God, in the airs, in everything that we do. We submit all that we are to you, O God. Give us indeed your rest and give us your grace today. May we be encouraged and your strength. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day.